Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals today. Today we're going to read Amos chapter 6, and the passage is a little lengthier than usual, and so if it helps you, I'd encourage you to open up your physical Bible or your Bible app and follow along there. This is Amos chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calne and see, and from there and go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory, O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from their flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, declares the Lord, the God of hosts. I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his strongholds, and I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. And if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when one's relative, the one who anoints him for burial, shall take him up to bring the bones out of the house, and shall say to him who is in the innermost parts of the house, Is there still anyone with you? He shall say, No. And he shall say, Silence! We must not mention the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commands, and the great house shall be struck down into fragments, and the little house into bits. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison, and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in Lodebar, who say, Have we not by our own strength captured Karnaim for ourselves? For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, the God of hosts. And they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of the Arabah. Amen. So, Israel was supposed to respond to the victory of God with a holy devotion to him. But instead, they grew prideful. They grew complacent in their faith. And this whole passage is basically telling the people of Israel that the judgment of God is coming. And we see specifically in verse 8 that the Lord abhors the pride of Jacob. He hates their spiritual arrogance. And he hates their strongholds. And he says that he is going to deliver up the city and all that is in it. Specifically, he's going to raise up against them a nation to oppress them from one end to another. And this nation that we're going to come to see throughout the history of Israel is the nation of Assyria. The Assyrians are going to come in, conquer the northern kingdom, and the remnant of Israel are going to be in exile. That's what we call the Assyrian exile. And throughout this passage, we see several different reasons why this judgment is coming. And I want to share four reasons for why the judgment of God is coming upon the people of Israel. The first reason is that they have found peace in false security. In verses 1 to 3, he says, Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. There, for some reason, there this like sense of peace over, when they shouldn't be at peace, when they shouldn't be comforted, because there's going to come a great disaster in their land. He even says in verse 2, Look at these other nations. Look at Calne and look at Hamath the Great. Go down to Gath of the Philistines. And he says, Are you better than these kingdoms? Is your territory greater than these territories? And the answer is no. The territory and the land of Israel was much smaller than some of these other nations. And yet even those nations were destroyed by the Lord. It came to destruction. And so he says that if judgment has come upon these lands, why are you so at ease and so at peace in your way of life, thinking that no destruction and no disaster can come upon you in your land? And so they were finding peace in a sense of false security. They were placing their trust in themselves, placing their trust in their what they were seeing at the moment. But God was saying that their way of life was not pleasing to him. They were placing their security in false things. And so that's the first thing. They were finding peace in a false security. The second thing is that they were absorbed in self-exaltation. Verses 4 to 6 says that they were lying on beds of ivory and stretching themselves out on their couches, eating lamb from the flocks, calves from the midst of the stall. They were singing idle songs to the sound of the harp. They were drinking wine and bowls. I mean, this whole image, this whole like description is just illustrating like kind of a feast. They were just lavishing themselves with good wine and meat and comfort, and they were just absorbed in exalting themselves. But the end of verse 6 says that they were not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. God then says, "Woe to you who are exalting yourselves, but aren't grieved over the destruction and disaster of Israel." And so the people of Israel found peace in a false security. They were absorbed in self-exaltation. The third reason is because they loved evil and hated good. They loved evil and hated good. Verse 12 says, "You have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood." This is basically saying that justice and righteousness is not to be seen in the land of Israel. All the Lord sees is injustice and evil. People doing injustice to one another. People doing injustice to the poor. And he says that because you love evil and hate good, because you are not establishing justice and righteousness in this land, judgment is going to come. And the fourth reason of God's judgment is because they have forgotten God's strength and faithfulness toward them. In verse 13, he says, "You who rejoice in Lodabar," to be honest, I don't really know what Lodabar is, "you who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, 'Have we not by our own strength captured Karnaim for ourselves?'" I also don't know what Karnaim is. But what this is getting at, I think the gist is that the people of Israel were saying that they have conquered by their own strength, that they have conquered other nations by their own power, that they have done things by their own strength for themselves. And they have forgotten that it was actually not they themselves who have done these things, but the Lord who fought for them, the Lord who was with them, the Lord who is their king, who stood by their side, who went before them and stood behind them, protected them in so many different ways. They have forgotten the strength and the faithfulness of Yahweh. So these are the four reasons why God's judgment is coming upon the northern kingdom. They found peace in a false security. They were absorbed in self-exaltation and weren't grieved over the ruin of Joseph. They loved evil and hated good. They didn't establish justice and righteousness. And the fourth is that they have forgotten that it was actually God's strength and faithfulness that have made them successful and been able to thrive all these years. Judgment is coming for the northern kingdom. And Now we skip many, many years, and as we look at the covenant of grace, as we look at Jesus' life, we see that judgment has come. God displayed his strength and his faithfulness by sending his one and only son, Jesus, and it's on the cross where he died that reveals his hatred of evil and sin and establishes justice and righteousness for sinners like you and me. It's on that cross where he lowered himself so that he might be exalted, so that we might be exalted in him. And it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can find peace and a true security. In all these four reasons, Jesus reverses it and is able to actually live it out in a manner that is holy and pleasing to his Father in heaven. And so we can give thanks to God for Jesus, our true peace, our true security. We can give thanks to the one who established justice, who established the kingdom of God. We can give thanks to God for Jesus, who is more concerned about us than his own life, so much so that he gave his own life for us so that we can have life with you, life with God. And because of all these things, we can find true peace, true security. And so let's give thanks to God for the Messiah, for the one who has actually stood by our side and has fought for us and has sacrificed himself for us. Not only giving thanks to God for Jesus, but let's also reflect, how can we be more like Jesus? How can we be more concerned about the welfare of others? How can we be a people who love good and hate evil? And how can we remember daily of God's strength and faithfulness in our lives? Let's bring these things to the Lord and respond in a faith and in obedience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And God, we pray that you would help us to be more like your son, Jesus. God, thank you for the one who has actually fulfilled all these things, who has actually lived it out. God, who established the kingdom of God and established justice and righteousness. God, for living out a selfless, humble life where he was more concerned about exalting us rather than exalting himself. God, thank you, Lord, that through Jesus, we can have true peace and a true security. Teach us, Lord, how to be more like your son, Jesus. Show us, Lord, how we can do this in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our cities. Lord, we thank you, God, that we're not alone. Your Holy Spirit is there to help us along the way, each day, every step of the way. We thank you and pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.